It is so good to see everybody here this evening. We do have some people that are visiting. You're our most welcome, our most honored guest. Whenever you're here in the Searcy area, again, it is, I hope that you'll come back and worship God together with us again. I see the spring break, I think, has come to a close, and some of our students are starting to come back. It's good to have them back. My sermon this evening is taken from Psalms 37. So if you do not have a copy of the sermon outline, if you just turn over to Psalms 37, hey, you got the outline. Because we're going to be taking this text and breaking it down, basically doing a contextual study. This is a psalm that I wanted all of us to be aware of. This is a psalm that I find myself going to, unfortunately, needing to go to it several times in my life because of the nature of the psalm. You can see from the outline and from the title of it, it is Do Not Fret Because of Evildoers. We're going to start here in chapter 37 now, verses 1 through 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The text here talks about not fretting. Fretting, that's a good southern word. You know, this is probably down in Jerusalem, which was southern Israel. Fret. That's a good word. We understand it. Basically, it means worry, being anxious, even being afraid. And so here he talks about those people that are evildoers. We don't need to be fretting about them, and we don't need to be envious of those that are workers of iniquity. The idea of envying them is thinking, wow, look at what they've got. Look at their life. Wow, I wish my life was like theirs. I wish I had what they have. I wish I could live like that. Years ago, there used to be a television show. Those of you that are older will remember it, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. They never have a television show, Lifestyles of the Middle Class. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, so that people would watch this and go, wow, look at that house. Wow, look at those cars. Wow, look at all the things they've got. Wow, I wish I had that. Do not be envious of those that are workers of iniquity. Verse 2 says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That is, they're going to be gone and they're going to be gone soon. Going over to Psalms 37 now, verses 7 through 8. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And he continues in verse 8 and he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And then finally, do not fret, it only causes harm. So first of all, he talks about resting in the Lord, waiting patiently on the Lord. And that is the idea, when is this going to change? Lord, are you ever going to do anything about this? Lord, are you ever going to judge these people? Are they getting away with what they're doing? Lord, do you see what they're doing? Are you going to judge these people? Are you going to punish them? He talks about here again about those that are prospering in their way and that they bring wicked schemes to pass. Now, I'm going to tell you why this particular chapter of Psalms is special to me. Sometimes after I watch the news or read a newspaper, I need to read this. Because I read about what the ISIS is doing over in the Middle East. And they're getting people and they're beheading them and they're killing people right and left and they're blowing up people. And they're committing atrocious crimes against people all around them. And it kind of looks like they're getting away with it. And then I just read the news about our own country. And I see wickedness in high places. And yes, I meant what I said. I see our Supreme Court passing things that the Constitution does not in any way, form, or fashion condone. The murdering of babies. Gay marriage. Where is this coming from? I look at this stuff and I go, what's going on to our country? All you got to do is read the news daily and you start thinking, what's happening? Now look at the verse, what it says about this. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. You see, for generations, for millennia, people get upset and even angry when they look at those that are committing wickedness And it seems like they're getting away with it. And then he says, finally, do not fret. It only causes harm. Worrying does nothing good in any way. Fretting is not going to help you in any way. Being anxious, being afraid, that's not going to help us in any way. So stop being anxious. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. When you seem like our world around us is going more and more into sin and more into darkness and is just flying out of control in craziness. Continuing in Psalms 131 and verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. How to solve all the problems? I got the answer. Make me king. That's one of my jokes around my household. Just make me king, I'll solve everything. But the truth of the matter is, these problems are bigger than me. The problems in the Middle East, they're bigger than me. The problems in Europe, they're bigger than me. The problems in the Orient, it's bigger than me. The problems in America, they're bigger than me. So, what do you do about it? Do you fret about it? Do you worry about it? Do you become overwhelmed with anxiousness whenever you sit back and you see everything going crazy? I said, in all directions, all around us. Well, that's what this sermon is for. How is it that you overcome the fretting? How is it you overcome the worrying? How is it you overcome the fear of what is happening in our world around us? And that's what Psalm 37 is all about. Going now to verse 3 of Psalm 37, getting into the body of the lesson. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Right after the introduction of Psalm 37, where he's talking about fretting because the evildoer, where it seems like they're getting away with what they're doing, and even being envious of those that are living in sin, thinking their life is good. How can they be doing these things and their life are good? The very first thing he tells us right off the bat is this: trust in the Lord. Trust God. Trust the Lord. God is still God, and he is still in control. He is still the Lord over this planet. He is the Lord over this country. Make no mistake about it. It says, dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness, and then going down to chapter 131, verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Do not put your hope in government. Got it? Do not put your hope in Washington. Do not put your hope in our economics. Do not put your hope in our military. Do not put your hope in our Constitution. Do not put your hope in the Bill of Rights. Put your hope in God. Learn that lesson right there. Put your hope in God and trust in the Lord. Our God and our King is righteous. Our God and our King, when he judges, it is a justice judgment. It is right. And he is going to reign forever. Put your hope in the eternal God. Psalm says, going back to 37 now, verses 9 through 10, he says, for the evildoer will be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they will inherit the earth. Evildoers. I'm a history major buff. I love history. I was telling Gary just the other day, if you want to talk history, I'll talk till your ears fall off. I love history. And if you study history, you're going to find out there's a whole lot of bad people that have existed and lived in this old world. And sometimes I, for the fun of it, just start naming them off. But I'm not going to do it tonight. But I can just give you a long list of people that were absolute tyrants. And you wouldn't have a clue who they are. You wouldn't know their names. You'll go, who? But if you lived in that time when those people were alive, you knew them. You knew them as being some of the most wicked people alive on the planet. But today, we have no clue who they are unless you're a history buff. Because those that are going to be evil are going to be cut off. Verse 10 says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." All of those in our generation that are wicked, go all the way around the world, every one of them, there's going to be a time when they are no more. Our God is eternal. Our God is everlasting. Our God is holy. Psalm 37 again. "I have set the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passes away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found." When they're dead and gone, they're dead and gone. And all you can find them is history books. And you may find older generation may remember some of these people and some of the things they did. But it's not going to be long, and people aren't even going to know who they are. Have you ever watched these people go and do interviews of people on the street? And they ask them questions about now. I mean, going on right now. And they ain't got a clue who people are to even right now today. And so if they haven't got a clue of what's going on today, do you think they're going to have a clue of what was in the past? No. 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 The evil person is going to be cut off and remembered no more by the bulk of humanity. Only people who trace out their history and read about them. Psalm 37 again. Here he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." This text now brings it down to me, the individual. We were talking about the bigger things out there in the world that are above me, that are over me, that I can't control them. But now it's talking about me and my life. I told y'all the story of years ago. I was listening to this radio man, Glenn Beck was his name. Some of you probably may listen to him. He's a very good historian, by the way. But he's also sometimes over the top in fear. And I found myself absolutely terrified one time after listening to him on the radio. And this is the truth. I went out and bought 100 pounds of rice. Anybody need any rice? When I moved from Texas, I had to give away 100 pounds of rice. I had to explain how I had it. I was afraid. And there's going to come a time we're not going to have enough food. My family's going to starve. I'm going to start storing food away then for when that time comes. Yeah, I was fretting. I was fretting big time. Matter of fact, I'll tell you to the degree that I was fretting, I experienced something I'd never experienced before. A panic attack. Oh, if you've never had one, I pray you never do. I remember laying there about 3 in the morning. And I was thinking about the things the man had said that day. And it all made sense. And you need to know this, folks. I love this country. I'm an extremely patriotic person. And I could see what was coming. And I started fretting. And the fret turned into fear. And the next thing I knew, it started snowballing, and I started experiencing a panic attack. My wife was asleep beside me, and I didn't wake her up because I thought I could handle this by myself. I started quoting Isaiah 41, verse 10, thinking, well, this is my favorite verse. If you don't know the verse, it's, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. Yes, I will strengthen you." I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I quoted that verse over and over and over and over for 30 minutes. And all I was doing was getting more afraid. That was when I had to do some soul searching. And the answer that I found was not that I didn't know what the verse said. The problem was, I didn't believe what it said. That's where I had to do some changing of heart. And start trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord. In the big scope of things, trust the Lord. In America, trust the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Do not put your hope in man. Do not put your hope in government. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. And the Lord tells us here, talking about the good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, you're not going to be utterly cast down. The Lord will hold you up with his hand. You remember the last part of Psalms 41:10? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Believe it. Know that God is with you. Know that God is our God. He is eternal. He is holy. He is righteous. He knows you. You are his sons and his daughters. There may come a time when you go through difficulties. Okay. But look at verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Your children and you are going to have enough to eat. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, the clothing, the food, the drink, all the things you need to survive, the Lord will provide. What he wants us to do is trust him. Trust him. Put your hope in God. Chapter 37 again. Now, verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Kind of sounds like Isaiah 41:10, doesn't it? He will strengthen them in time of trouble. He will help them. Yeah, I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. That's Isaiah 41:10. But who is he talking about here? He's talking about those who are serving God. Those who put their trust in God. As he says here, he will save those individuals because they trust in him. The first thing we need to learn from Psalm 37 when it comes to all the madness that is going on in the world around you that may cause you to become afraid, that may cause you to fret and worry and be anxious. The first thing we got to learn is we're not in control, but God is. You're never going to be in control. God is. God is the one we need to be trusting. Even though we may not understand why circumstances are happening the way they do, God is in control. God will judge those that are evil. And those that are even evil in our generation, they will pass away and become blips in history book one day. But our God and our kingdom, they are eternal and everlasting and righteous. Yes, I'm an American, but I'm a citizen of the kingdom of Christ first. Are you? Yes. We are citizens of his kingdom, and that kingdom is eternal. And our king is righteous. Our king is holy. And our king is eternal. And so that being the case, let's go back now to chapter 37, verse 5 through 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Here's the second thing we learn in Psalm 37 about when everything seems to be going crazy around you. You focus on you. You focus on you and your relationship with God And in that relationship with God, you lay it all on the line and commit it all to God. Commit your life and everything connected to your life to your God. Going over to Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice how the verse begins here. Be anxious for nothing. Does that sound kind of familiar? How about do not fret? That's saying the same thing a different way. So he's talking here about not fretting, not being anxious, not being afraid, not worrying. How is that possible? Because you take everything that is a care and a concern and a worry to you, everything you're afraid about, as far as our world is concerned, or your own personal life, you take it all to God in prayer. You cast it all before the King, who can and is able and will do things responding to your prayers. He is there, He hears your prayers, and He will respond to your prayers and your petitions. The best thing you can do for your country is pray for it. Pray to the one who is able to do things above and beyond all we can think or ask. He says in verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Do you realize that's the exact opposite of anxiousness? The beginning of verse 7 is the exact opposite of the beginning of verse 6. Verse 6 begins with anxiousness. Verse 7 begins with the answer, peace. That's what we're trying to get back to. Peace. Take it all to God. Take it all to God. First, commit your life to God. And then as a child of God, take it all to Him. Cast it all before Him. And when you realize you have approached God Almighty, the King of the universe, the King of our world, the King of our country, the one who hears your prayers, will respond to your prayers, and can do more than anybody, the one who is able to influence and affect things that are above us, that are beyond us, you be at peace. You be at peace and have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Don't be afraid of what's going to be coming even in your personal life. Trust in the Lord. Put your hope in God and go to Him in prayer. The prayer of faith can accomplish amazing things. 2 Timothy now, chapter 1, verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about the close of his life and his relationship with God. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. By the way, if you don't know the background for this, it's also Psalms. What is it he committed to the Lord? His soul. His soul's eternal destiny. Our physical things, they're trivial trinkets in life. The real treasure of your life is your soul. Commit it to the Lord. Give it to God. Give Him all of you for all of your life. And when the end finally does come for you as well, and you will pass from this life, we can have peace because we know the one to whom we have committed our soul until that day. You can have peace in this life, peace whenever you're crossing the river into the next life, peace all the way to the end. If you desire peace, you must learn that peace is only going to be found in your total commitment and relationship with your God. Now let's go to the last part of this. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. He goes on further and he says, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. All right, let's look at this now. Waiting patiently for Him. You rest in the Lord. Again, this is getting back to this peace. Wait patiently on the Lord. You know, I was talking earlier about making me king. If I was made king, I would probably go down in history as one of the most wicked people that ever lived because I'd kill everybody. If you don't know, I joke with people and I say, I like the Jehu strategy. Now your homework is to figure out who Jehu is and what he did. Talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you about it. But right now, wait on the Lord. How many of you, when you see atrocities taking place, you say, here's the answer, God, do it now. How many of you are kind of like James and John? You remember them in the New Testament? And whenever they were going through the Syria, the Samaria, the middle province of Israel, and they came to some cities, and the cities wouldn't let them in and take care of them and help them in any way. You remember what John and James said? Lord, you want us to call down fire upon them? I kind of relate to that. Have you ever felt like, God, get them? Call down fire on them now. All right. God is all-knowing. He knows what he's doing. He's got this. He's in control. Don't worry about it. Wait patiently on the Lord and let him do what he's going to do in his time. In our time, we need to focus on me and God. I need to focus on what I can handle. And that's me and my relationship with my God. And have trust in God that he will do what he is going to do when he wants to do it. And it has got to be in my time, on my schedule, and what I want. And so with that in mind, we can rest in the Lord. Psalms 131 again, verse 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Calming, quieting the soul. You see, this is what we're trying to get to. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that rest, that calmness, to where we're no longer afraid. We're no longer anxious and worrying. We have confidence now because our trust is in God. We've committed everything to our God, and now our peace is built upon our trust in him and our confidence in him. Getting back now to Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. I wonder how many of you are going to go home tonight and go, I need to read that psalm again. And I promise you, if you read it and you slow down and take time to chew on it, it's going to become one of your favorite. Because the world's going to keep getting darker. And the problems are going to continue. I don't see repentance, of national repentance, coming anytime soon, do you? No, I don't see it coming. As a matter of fact, I see things getting worse in our country. In the world around us? Okay. All right. So what are we going to do about it? Trust God. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in him. Draw strength from him. Have confidence in him. Because that individual who was blameless and upright, who is a child of God, God knows you and God is in your life and God will take care of you. God will provide for you. And not only that, will he provide for you physically, in the end, you will also have peace in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. Let's close now. We're going to Isaiah 26:3. How could I not go here? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's basically the summary of the sermon. Peace of God that passes all understanding, calmness, rest, perfect peace. Isn't that something that would be desirable in your life? To have an inner perfect peace in your heart and spirit to where there's no more fear, There's no more anxiousness. There's no more fretting. All those things are gone. There's no more panic attacks. Okay, here's the way to it. Keep the mind stayed on Him. See that? The mind on God. Trusting God. Hope in God. Committing it all to God. And then resting in God. That is the only way to truly have a perfect peace. And it is not going to come from man. It is going to come only from God and our trust in Him. As the last part of the verse says, look at it, because He trusts in you. If you want a good memory verse, I suggest this one. If you want a good memory verse to help you whenever you're struggling with worrying, I recommend this one, along with Isaiah 41:10. But as I told you earlier, it's not enough just to be able to say the words. I can quote the verse for half an hour. All right, that's good. Believe it. You got to believe it with no doubt. Fear not. I am your God. I am with you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. If you can't go any further, He'll hold you up with His righteous right hand. Trust what He tells you He will do. Trust what He says He will do. Put your confidence in Him. And in your life, commit it all to Him. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this evening who is not a member of the one body. If you believe in your heart that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess that faith and motivated by your faith, repent, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and your relationship with your God has been weak because your faith has been weak, your trust has been weak, and the relationship has been weak, and there's sin in your life, our God is gracious, He's merciful, He's willing to forgive you. But you must turn from the sin that you're walking in and come home to the Father. We, as your spiritual family, we are here for you. We will pray for you. We will do the best we can to strengthen you and help you in any way we can. You're not alone. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song which has been selected.